So, if all of this Caltech party presentation was a big Italian meal, then I guess that Keith would have given us the main courses, primo, secondo, and everything, and Kashif the dessert, and I'm left with coffee, which is also appropriate that I should come last, because this work is not about numerical work in the past or even current work, but hopefully work, future work that somebody or if I'm me or in part I will undertake in the future. So I'll be talking about prospects and not results, about gravitational wave observations of Newton's tidal disruption, and what we can learn from Newton's tidal disruption in Newton's tablet called binaries, and what we can learn from these observations about the structure and the equational state of Newton's stars. So the scenario here is quite simple, and with a little cartoon, in the late stages of a Newton star black hole in spiral, it might happen that the black hole tidal field, especially if the black hole is small and will be mostly concerned with black holes and Newton star with comparable masses, the tidal field might be so strong that the Newton star is disrupted by the tidal field of the black hole. And there are hints that this would happen in a dynamical time scale. And if it is so, then there would be some very special gravitational waves emitted by this process that hopefully one could hope to measure with LIGO, and then with some number crunching that could tell us something about the equation of state, this P of rho of the Newton star, which is here green as hope. And this actually looks so the idea of doing this, of learning about Newton stars from Newton star tidal disruption, originally was articulated by Thorn in 87, and it was examined by Hughes in his PhD thesis in 98, but for tidal disruption in double Newton stars binaries, where it happens that these events occur at such high frequencies that the LIGO is not able to tell us much. LIGO, sorry. So the theoretical tools to examine such a scenario are not completely in place, or at least are not in place under my hat. So what I did was take a very simple model, which is taking a Newton star that is simply a Newtonian ellipsoid, taken as incompressible or with a polytropic equational state, and taking this Newton star as orbiting a Kerr black hole on the simplest geodesic, a circular equatorial geodesic. Then we can let this ellipsoid be deformed by the Kerr tidal field. And this is an approach that was pioneered by Fishbone in 72 and 75, then by Shibata, then used by Lai, Raggio, and Shapiro, where a body of fluid is basically reduced to a finite number of degrees of freedom. In this case, only the three axes of the ellipsoid and its overall density. So one can nevertheless look for equilibrium solutions of this ellipsoid orbiting around in the field of a black hole. And one finds that at any given orbital radius, that there is a minimum possible density that this ellipsoid, at which a body of fluid in the shape of an ellipsoid can have an equilibrium solution. So again, the binary is determined by a very small set of parameters, mass and rotational parameter of the black hole, and mass of the Newton star and its density or radius. And this graph shows that for at any radius, at any orbital separation, there is a minimum possible density, a critical density. So our working criteria for disruption is that disruption happens when past a certain radius at which there are no more equilibrium solutions anymore. That is, for a binary that has a given density, it will disrupt once it reaches a radius where its density matches this critical radius that can be calculated. So basically, suppose we have a LIGO, a beautiful LIGO observation, and we know the radius at which tidal disruption happens. So we can do a couple of passages and go from the density as we obtain it from the radius of tidal disruption to the radius of the Newton star, simply defined as a from the density, and from the radius as function of the orbital radius, we go to the Newton star radius as function of the frequency of the gravitational waves that are instantaneously emitted by the system. So it is this frequency that LIGO can measure. And when we go and plug in all the data and realistic parameters, we find that this is the graph. So here we have frequencies of gravitational waves emitted. Here we have the radius which we suppose the Newton star has. And here we can read the frequency at which disruption would be observed is this picture is correct. Also the curves are different because they scale with a power of the mass of the black hole. So what we find is that the gravitational frequency at which disruption happens depends strongly on R. And this is good because it means that we can in principle determine R from FTD, the gravitational frequency of disruption. And also for realistic parameters, for black holes, for radiuses of Newton stars, which cover in this range from 8 to 16 kilometers, where 1.4 canonical Newton star cover a range of equational state, disruption does happen before the plunge, which is where these dots are, and which depends somewhat on the angular parameter, on the rotational parameter of the black hole. And also that disruption happens in a range that is of fairly good LIGO sensitivity. So here, this is especially good for very high mass black holes, but even in the case of lower mass black holes, we are at frequencies around 1 kilohertz that are not completely outside the LIGO 2 range. This is 1 kilohertz for the gravity. The gravitational radiation at the moment of disruption. So there'll be a regular, to some extent, in spiral that evolves with the radiation reaction. And at the moment of gravitational disruption, something will happen to the spiral, to the signal, to the waveform signal. We can imagine that since if there is a sudden disruption, then the material of the neutron star will spread around the black hole, and therefore reduce the total quadrupole moment and reduce the emission of gravitational waves from the binary. But also there should be more features to the waveform, to the tidal disruption waveform, which can be evaluated only with a more careful numerical analysis. So the idea is you look at the waveform and you determine some parameters which describe how the tidal disruption happens. In this case, since I've got a very simple model, the only parameter is this frequency at which it happens. But it could be more things and more features. And then go on to try to learn something about Newton star. Yeah. Yes. So I was coming to this. But the purpose of this model is to evaluate the signal-to-noise issues and the feasibility issues of this. This is not supposed to be a realistic model, but it's a model to give us prospects. We will certainly need something much better to determine, to derive useful information. Well, here we're going by analogy with what happens in Newton star binaries, and which has been discussed to some extent and numerically experimented to some extent. But it might well turn out that, and by sudden I mean one or two orbital periods, might turn out that this is an incorrect assumption, of course.
Neutron star is very compact, and it's very hard to distort them. So there are analytic calculations, since there are tidal distortions, you also can get it to some extent in these kinds of models. Tidal distortions become strong enough to even see in the gravity wave signal only in the last several orbits before the thing gets totally torn apart. So there's not that much distortion until the last two to three orbits before it's completely pulled apart. Based on perturbation analysis, the
So to now we want to know, we know that in principle we can tell something about the, so let me go back to the other slide. This slide was pointing out in the last line that I did not read out that LIGO can measure the mass of the Newton star from just in spiral parameters and can measure its radius through considerations of this kind. So together these things give us a point on the M as a function of R graph of the Newton star, which as Lindblom pointed out can bring us back to say something about the Newton star equation of state, because there is a mapping between equation of state through the Oppenheimer equations into couples of mass and radius. And also in my analysis, this M over R, which is what we measure, is a kind of a surrogate for the real equation of state. Because if we then turn to determining other parameters than FTD, other features in the waveform, those might as well be correlated to other characteristics in the equation of state. M. Well, M is obtained from the first post-Newtonian in spiral analysis. The Chirp mass is the first thing that you get also at the Newtonian level. At the second level, you get another linear combination, which together with M can give the two masses. And also, it so happens that in all the Newton stars that we have observed in X-ray binaries tend to have the very same mass, which is around 1.4 solar masses. So if anything, one could hope that would hold also for binaries, LIGO observable binaries. So to know how well we can measure this M over R, be it a real thing that we care about or a surrogate equation of state, we put together two things, this analysis and LIGO noise curves. And the framework to do this is the optimal filtering parameter estimation. And I should mention that these observations only have a chance with LIGO 2, and we have considered three different noise curves. One is the wideband that also people were speaking about, and others are narrow band configurations where a signal recycling is so configured as to give a sweet spot just where one would want it. So we have assumed LIGO 2 noise profiles. We have assumed a Newton star mass of 1.4 solar masses and black holes of several different masses in two scenarios. One is for black holes that are obtained from main sequence star at a distance of 140 megaparsec, which according to sort of an average of the wired gases that we have today for coalescence rates should give one event per year. And this lighter black hole instead is considered at the near distance that would give us one event per year according to the Beath and Brown scenario of hypercritical accretion. So, and of course, to see how well we could determine R, we need a model of how R, or FTD, which is the frequency of tidal disruption, affects the shape of the waveform that we observe with LIGO. And we just use a toy model where this waveform is a Newtonian in spiral that decays once it reaches FTD linearly or exponentially over a very short frequency range. And the actual frequency range here is blurred, but it's an uncertain parameter that is somewhat dependent on how fast disruption happens. So we consider three cases of an optimal scenario, which is the best allowed by basically the uncertainty principle for waves. A fiducial scenario that we can believe in from Newton star equations, and a conservative estimate. So with all this, we can use the formalism of matched filtering to estimate an error on this FTD, or any FTD that we might measure. And from this error on FTD, we can compute the error on the radius. So my last slide is... Yes, just modulates it. it's still, this happens very rapidly. And of course, this is incorrect. And it won't be usable in a production run. But again, I wanted to get at the prospects for the thing. And see. Well, they continue there in spiral, but this is not very important. I mean, what we believe is that there is some kind of decay. This is important for the strength of the signal. And that decay will be of some waveform that hopefully we should know and that we'll get from numerical simulations. So it's a placeholder, really, the spiral signal. And so here are the conclusions, not this way, and which is that according to our fiducial decay model, which is this column, R will be determined to 15% by a narrow band LIGO 2 and to about 20% by a wide band LIGO 2. And the event ratios, again, are of order 1 per year, but also observations under the more conservative case or under a compressible case. This calculation was done with an incompressible fluid, but things don't change very much if we use a polytropic distribution of density. Even more conservative observations seem to be significant. And this suggests, because from these numbers about R, we have to try to guess something about possibilities for real production determinations. This suggests that the observations of tidal disruption in these binaries might be possible with LIGO 2, and they may yield useful insights into the Newton star equation of state. But to do this, we will need better numerical and theoretical techniques, both for modeling the Newton star tidal disruption, which has, of course, infinite degrees of freedom, and for computing the dependence of the disruption waveforms on the Newton star equation of state. And this is the moral.